B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of the largest Spanish language streamers getting banned for a really crazy reason. Also, we'll be talking about the Morbius film, why that is in the MCU but not in the MCU, and why it's delayed but not delayed. And lastly, we're going to see a little bit too much CSGO in our Valorant as a match-fixing scandal has hit Riot's newest property. And we're going to be talking to Nicole Tompkins. She is the voice of Jill Valentine and one of the Demetrius sisters, Jacko, Elena, a bunch of video game characters. We're going to have a conversation with her in part two of today's episode. So strap in, because this is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Checkpoint Daily again. It is Friday Eve, y'all. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, we were busy last weekend, and now we can enjoy this weekend.
Yeah, we actually get a weekend this week. This is going to be nice.
I know. I'm going to be on prime, like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
We have been on Friday since last Friday.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I'm excited, too, because you guys are going to be doing a Pride episode tomorrow.
Yes. We are.
So I'm going to be gone. Give space.
Chad, I understand we have a guest joining us tomorrow.
Yes, I will. We will announce tomorrow as well.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, cool. So, I'm excited for the weekend. I'm going to Topgolf with my dad on Sunday.
Cool. I haven't been to Topgolf in ages.
I have no clue how my sister wrangled this reservation, by the way, because Topgolf in Metro Detroit is notoriously hard to get into.
First of all, not just Topgolf in Metro Detroit. Topgolf in Metro Detroit on a beautiful Saturday, the day before Father's Day.
Yeah, it's going to be
nice. Oh, yeah.
How did she get that? Who did she kill?
I don't know. All right.
There's a body somewhere,
and you know what? Plausible deniability.
Fair point.
But we also got Chad Callahan in the building. What's up, Chad?
Oh, you know, I'm just enjoying Thursday. I'm just excited that it's Thursday. Ugh. I need this to go by quicker. I just need to get to the weekend.
I feel you.
I've been like staring at like the idea of Saturday for far too long.
Chad, would you say that you've never needed a Friday as badly as you need one right now?
You know what, Callie? I would.
I think we're all kind of feeling that way this week.
Absolutely.
It's not just me.
Callie Scales.
Yeah.
What's up?
Callie Scales.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. hoping to get through today and just on to the next day. We should sound more excited doing a podcast, but like, it's like the week you come back from E3. Do you remember what that week is like?
Yeah.
When you come back from E3, you're
dead. If I'm not in the hospital, which, remember, I got plague the first year.
Our first year, you came back in the hospital. That was rough.
Yeah.
Not only did you get con plague, but we had like a 12-hour delay on flights getting home.
I was out on my feet in Denver.
Oh, yeah. So we had a 6-hour delay in Los Angeles. And then we were going to be late for our flight, our connecting flight in Denver. So there's like, okay, so here's what you're going to have to do. We're going to get you to Denver, and then you're going to take a red eye to New Jersey, and then you're going to go from New Jersey back up to Detroit. You're going to be home at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And we're like, awesome. So we are 5 hours late. We fly out of Los Angeles, get to Denver. Norris is half dead. Nate's losing his mind. Robbie's pissed off. I'm like, hey, I think our show's on in Denver this time. Let's listen to it.
Yeah, you see.
That's what I remember being excited about.
And you know what this was? It's because Callie was the only one who, like, throughout the whole week was like, oh no, guys, I'm just gonna go back to the room and lay down.
I'm just gonna go rest. Yeah.
I'm just gonna go rest. Meanwhile,
I'm not staying up.
And Nate is like, I gotta edit. Me and Robbie are just like, fuck that, we in LA, turn out.
They're getting drunk.
That's me.
That's basically what happened. And so we get into Denver and we're like, all right, let's find out when our connecting flight is. And we find out that our original connecting flight that was gonna take us back to Detroit also was delayed for 5 hours. So we caught our original flight home and we only had to wait until like 2 in the morning to get home.
And wow. I got home, laid down for a day, and then my then girlfriend, who, my wife now, she got home and was like, are you feeling all right? And I looked at her and I said, yeah. And by the time I finished shaking my head, I threw up everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So
I went to the hospital day after. So.
Fun.
So anyway, the point is we don't feel that bad. But we are ready for Friday.
But I'll say this, I miss it. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go back.
And I'm excited to play games over the weekend. I'm dedicated to at least playing a little bit of Mass Effect every few days. I've been doing it. I'm just not used to the gameplay style, so it's taken me a little bit.
And Mass Effect 1 is weird.
And that's what
it is.
Saying.
It's a weird game.
I have to get through 1, and 2 will change my whole perspective on it.
100%.
2 is like, okay, we made the controls a little less ass.
Okay.
There is one concept in 2 that you're going to be like, oh, they made that objectively worse, and that's ammo.
Yep.
Oh, really?
There's ammo in 2.
Well, it's clips now.
Yeah. It's not just like... charge up your heat meter and let it come back down. You actually have to reload.
Okay, I don't mind clips. I actually thought that was better. I didn't like the... Here's why. Because I liked it. I want to be able to hold this motherfucker down for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way they calculate it is that your downtime from reloading the clip is significantly faster than waiting for the heat to go.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's fine, but it's the only thing where you're like, I don't know why they made that choice.
Oh, and the Omni-Gel thing.
And the Omni-Gel thing is different. Outside of that, the game handles so much nicer once you get to 2.
Maybe I just need to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. We do. I'm not sure if it'll just be Back for Blood, but I feel like we do need like a collect. We need a team game.
Chad and I have been saying they've done a lot of updates on Phasmophobia. I want to play another round.
I don't want to play that fucking game.
I know. We'll get Rick and Robbie for that, but I'm itching for a game of Phasmophobia.
Stop fucking ostracizing me from the group games. I'm not playing these jank ass games.
What?
I want something polished.
Something polished? All right, what do you want to play?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why I asked y'all.
You let us know what you want to play. We're going to play Phasmophobia
tonight. Playing Street Fighter.
Although, new Among Us 15 players.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
So I actually do want to play some Among Us.
I could go for that.
A huge game of it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I could go for that.
We'll figure it out.
All right, guys. Well, without further ado, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right. So one of the largest Spanish-speaking Twitch streamers in the world has been handed his third ban. During a stream, he had someone who he had invited onto the stream who at one point turned around and mooned the camera.
Yeah, I don't think it was just a moon. I think there was a full twig and berries, too.
I don't know if that was the case. They were apparently getting up and going back to go to the bathroom, and they definitely mooned the camera, and that got him a quick ban. This is his third time being banned. That said, these are all very minor infractions.
Except for that. I feel like if you're flashing the camera, that's
and also it's because it was not Ibai, you know.
Yeah, it was just someone who was on the stream.
Even still.
Yeah, well, you are responsible for it. That's why he got banned.
Yep.
We're expecting this will probably just be a couple days ban overall.
I imagine.
I don't think it'll be anything longer than that. It is a third strike, so I understand it could be longer, but I don't think it will
so
be.
So in this one, you have, it was two different instances. You had one instance where he was banned, where he invited somebody onto the stream, and like the user profile that they had, I think, was just like a penis.
It was a penis, yeah.
And that was one strike.
How do you not see that?
Well, I mean, people can change
user profile
names.
That's fair. If it was changed, fine. If it wasn't.
Well, and the person's name was Ibai Banned in Spanish, so they were trying to get him banned.
Yeah.
And this person just goes on, and they were having some sort of like rap battle or something, and this guy like.
What was that face you just made?
How are you inviting someone onto your stream where your name is Ibai Banned?
I get that. I just need you to see you make that face again.
I will eventually see it. It was my infuriated with the idea of common sense right there.
Fair enough.
I feel you. But anyway, he's a huge streamer. I mean, in terms of the Spanish speaking world, arguably one of the biggest. He's a former league caster, and I know him from streaming a lot of stuff with FIFA and G2 Esports and stuff. Okay. So a lot of the footballers follow him, and so this was a guy that is super huge. So again, another ban for Ibai, but on this one you can't really blame him, which is why I think they're being a little lenient this time.
Yeah.
So we've had some conflicting reports coming out about the upcoming Morbius movie. So if you've been kind of confused, things go both ways. We got the final conclusion here.
Okay.
Morbius actor Tyrese Gibson said.
Stop. I didn't even know Tyrese was in this movie.
He plays Simon Stroud in the upcoming movie.
All right. First of all, let me just say this. All right. Tyrese does not need to give you any information on any films. He is he's an unreliable narrator. Okay.
Oh, okay. Just put it that way. Gotcha. I don't know this person. So, he was in. He's in F9, isn't he?
He's in like all in the Fast movies. Yeah, How do you not know Roman. Tyrese?
Yeah, that's right. Fair enough.
He's been in like every one since Too Fast, Too Furious.
He really has, except for three, right? Basically
yes.
All of them. Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
So, he came out and said in an interview that Morbius would be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe it was getting delayed for a fifth time back to October, sorry, of 2022. And everyone went, hold up. It's part of the MCU? Since when is that the case? So everyone reached out to Sony to try and get some clarifications. And Sony came out and said that neither is it part of the MCU, nor is it being pushed back. It is still slated for a January 28th, 2022 release.
Where did he get this info? I'm just curious, like, what made him... What...
I told y'all Tyrese is an unreliable narrator.
I get that, but, like, how are you that unreliable? It's different, like, when Tom Holland goes and accidentally spills the beans about, like, the script or something like that.
Man,
okay,
he's
I get
supposed
it.
To do
but
that.
But how do you actually, like, make up stuff that... they have to go back and be like, neither two things, not just one major thing, two major things incorrect.
I don't know, but I'm not sure if Tyrese is gonna still be in this movie.
Is it done filming?
It's like, yeah, it's I mean, it's due out in January of next year, okay, so it should be done filming. It's gotta be in editing by now, yeah. It's been delayed a bunch of times, I would imagine so.
They could cut him out.
Probably.
It says co-star, so
yeah,
I mean,
he is Simon Stroud, who should
role.
Be a major character.
No, he's a major character.
So, Morbius, first of all, I don't know if any of you know much about Morbius, vampire.
He's the hand vampire.
Yeah.
He's a vampire with his hands.
Yeah.
Instead of his mouth.
Yeah. It's really cool.
I don't think I've ever
kids
seen
are gonna
this.
Love it. Yeah, no.
What's this from? Is this a Marvel property?
I mean, it is. Yeah. Spider-Man adjacent. So yeah, it's just like Venom was.
So that's why. Okay, so. All right.
Chad, the movie's not going to be great.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, so this is like a Venom-esque kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I was shocked at how much I actually enjoyed Venom. I really did like Venom.
No, but again, when I saw Venom and the idea of Venom as a character, and then you make it Tom Hardy, okay, cool. With fucking Morbius? I don't. No.
Yeah.
Nobody asked for this.
No one knows who
Morbius
is.
There is not one person, I am convinced, there is not one human being on the face of this earth who wrote an email to Sony Pictures Incorporated and said, guys, you really should make a Morbius movie. What a cool character.
I was going to say, because like, Spider-Man was one of the few that I actually watched as a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Morbius.
He was absolutely in the Spider-Man cartoon.
Was he?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just.
He was an ex-boyfriend. He was an ex-boyfriend of Felicia.
All right, I'll look him up.
Of Black Cat.
I'll look him up. You guys keep talking.
Anyway, it's got Jared Leto in it as Morbius, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, Jared Leto is Morbius?
He is.
Oh,
yep.
You know what? I do remember this character now.
Yeah.
That I see him.
Oh,
okay.
It's got Matt Smith in it too. All right. Well, listen.
It's weird because he's a vampire, so you'd think I'd care.
We'll see if it's any good. They shocked me with Venom. They would really shock me with Morbius, but we'll see. Riot is dealing with one of their first match-fixing scandals of Valorant.
It's a real e-sport now.
It is now a real e-sport. During the Ignition series last September in the E-Poles Royal SEA Cup in September 2020, there was, as it turns out, a match-fixing scandal between Resurgence and Blackbird Ignis. Two players on Resurgence basically conspired together, pooled some money, placed a bet on themselves to lose. Yep. They apparently
Pete Rosed it.
They spoke to their team about it, and the team basically said, no, we don't want to throw. But they kept it a secret because they didn't want to get kicked off the team or punished. So
did they lose?
They did lose.
Okay.
They did lose. Is O2'd against Blackbird Ignis. Now Riot has caught up and has levied punishments. The two players in question, Germs G and Dreamy CSGO, got the heaviest punishment. I believe they got 3 years. Yes, they've been banned from all VCT events for 3 years. due to their violations. Another player on the team was given a year-long ban, and the final two players of the team were given 6 months.
I'm sorry, but I feel like if you're caught betting on games that you are in, lifetime ban.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I don't think you... When you have... To me, this is a bigger offense than cheating is.
Absolutely.
This is a bigger offense to me than cheating is. Because at the end of the day, are you ruining the integrity of the game when you cheat? Of course you are. It's a terrible thing. But at least you're trying to win.
But that's... Yes, exactly. You're trying to win. You're trying to get an unfair advantage within the game. It is still within the confines of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Match fixing is an outside influence for you to make extra money, of which you have actively made the decision not to play at the best of your ability.
Right. Both of them are incredibly severe issues and need to be handled incredibly harshly. But to me, if you bet on your team to lose and throw the match, you should never be allowed to
you
play competitively
play
again.
It just sucks because, like, I'm not defending this at all. Mm-hmm. It just sucks that, like, I just looked up one of the ages of it, and it's 19. It just sucks that you do something so stupid at 19.
So?
It's going to affect the rest of
if
you
went down
career.
The street, if you went down the street and blew somebody's brains out at 19,
you
go to jail.
You can't compare murdering somebody to match fixing.
Okay, you rob a bank. You go to jail.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
that's
you
a
rob
close
a,
comparison.
There are certain
fine.
Things. I'm sorry. There are certain things at 19 years old that I'm sorry if you don't know are very serious. You're just stupid.
Well, yeah.
Like your parents failed you. Like it is a combination of your fault and your parents' fault. But since you're a legal adult, we can't punish your dumbass parents. Okay.
Right.
And so the thing is I refuse to at this point of esports. That used to be an excuse that people was, oh man, but they're just so young. They're just kids. I'm sorry.
Doesn't
I knew
matter.
Match fixing was a bad thing when I was a teenager. When I was 13 years old, my dad was like, don't bet on games you playing in.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if that was a common thing to say to anybody.
Well, I
you grew up knowing about Pete motherfucking Rose.
Well.
My family, maybe this is because I'm not in sports, but like, imagine coming from a family that doesn't care about sports. I amazingly get the sports gene. I go out there. Like, so my parents had to tell me, well, I'm sure they would have, but you know what I mean? I don't know.
If nothing else, when you get hired on a team, they
yeah,
should.
Yeah, I'm sure
they,
the team
they
should.
They got to make it clear.
Don't gamble.
The coach and like, so they kept it a secret.
The rest of the team did keep it a secret.
And that's really the next big offense.
Yeah, they've been handed a shorter ban than the rest of them. They got either a year or 6 months for keeping it a secret.
And listen, I think that's fair because you didn't actually do anything but not snitch. So,
yeah,
I get it.
You do have to be punished. You did something wrong. Yeah. You should have reported it. But I understand you didn't do it.
Yeah, I get it. I think that's fair. That punishment is fair. But I think, I'm sorry, match fixing along with like serious, you know, findings of sexual harassment or, you know, top, you know, super like physical assault. There's really only like three things that I could say get you banned from that particular esport for life. Match fixing is one of them.
If this story was that they had bet on themselves to win, trying to make more money, year long ban. You can't do it. You're not allowed to bet on yourself. You have extra information that other people don't have. That is not okay.
It's for the same reason why I will not bet on Overwatch League.
Right. We are too close.
We're too close.
We have a sister organization in the Overwatch League. We don't bet on it.
But the biggest difference is like you're not actively.
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter, but like this. They're actively playing in the game.
I mean, yes, that's a different, that's a whole different level. I'm just saying
it's an ethics question.
I get what you mean.
Yes, it's an ethics question. But if it's foggy and gray for me, and I'm only tangentially related, let alone me actually be a motherfucker playing in the match, and I'm a bet to throw.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. Lifetime ban. So I think
the only esport I bet on is League of Legends because of that. We don't have an active stance in League of Legends right now.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I'm sorry. I think that league is soft. And I think if I was Riot, I would come down from on high and I'd be like, ban them for life.
That's what I would, that would be my choice. They chose 3 years. They apparently thought it wasn't as big of an infraction.
3 years out of an, you're, okay, so at 19, do you turn 20?
Yes, in esports, a 3-year ban is almost a lifetime ban in many cases.
Not really.
But
not really, because if CSGO still is going, there's a lot of overlap in those skills. So you go over to CSGO, you play at a high level, and then when your ban's over at Valorant, there'll be a team that takes you.
I guess, but still, like, that's a good chunk of time to be out of it. And, like, who knows what, if CSGO is
going
to...
No, you'll be 22.
Yeah, still, but 3 years, no matter what age you are, you that's a lot of time to be
that's
away
not,
from a scene.
No.
I mean, considering the average esports career is less than that, I get why they chose that number.
But again, we're not looking at the numbers here, guys. Is that esports professionals are not all 19-year-olds anymore. They're mm-hmm. getting older.
Yep.
Okay?
You're right.
So
barely.
It's not. It doesn't matter if it's barely or not. They're getting older. And so
I still think the cap's going to be much. It's much like how most.
Yeah, you'll reach the peak of your career at 24 instead of 26 or 27 for most traditional athletes. It doesn't matter. If you're 22, you're at the peak of your motherfucking powers, okay? So this person could be done with this band, go right back into Valorant. It's, listen, I hope they never do it again. But
I'm sure they won't. I don't think
something this fucking dumb. I'm sorry. Like, this dumb.
I don't know. I still think Valorant's too new to be given a 3-year ban, and then you can get back into it 3 years later. I don't think you're going to be able to.
I think it would be tricky to get back in. But that said, the opportunity is there. Like Nora said, you could go play CSGO for 3 years and...
If they accept you.
That said, should have been a lifetime ban.
If CSGO will accept you, they got so many renegades over there. Like, they have so many scandals in CSGO. If CSGO was a place...
Well, okay, why are you going to invite more scandal into CSGO?
If CSGO was a place, it would be the Mos Eisley cantina of esports, okay? It'd be a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
You're not going to go as an organization and be like, all right, all these scandals are happening around us. Let's add the ones from an alternate game.
Hey, if the players are good, yes, you will.
But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we'll be talking to Nicole Tompkins, voice of so many video game characters, but you probably know her as Jill Valentine from the new Resident Evil 3 remake. We have a really cool conversation with her coming up in part two of Checkpoint Daily.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find the other identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, only the most bestest show about video games and esports that you've ever heard about. Norris Howard, your host here alongside Chad Callahan and Callie Scales. Do not forget to go to our website. We've been talking about E3 stuff all week long, and we're still going to be talking about it for the most part for the rest of the month. Why? Because there's no way you know everything, and we know more than you. So you need to listen to us. But we also have another special guest with us this time. We've got Nicole Tompkins, voice of Jill Valentine from the RE3 remake, Daniela Dimitrescu from Resident Evil Village.
As well as Elena.
That's right. I just found that out today.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be shocked by her background here.
Yeah. So, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
So, obviously, first and foremost, you've clearly been working with Capcom now for a couple years. Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil Village. You seem to have a great relationship with the team. How did that sort of connection start? And what's been the experience working with Capcom so far?
Yeah, I mean, first off, just in general, it's just been such a joy. Like, when you get to go in and work for a company like Capcom. I mean, they just have so many... you know, legendary IPs, and obviously Resident Evil is so iconic and it has such a large fan base from nostalgia players all the way to new players. So just a dream come true. Originally, I auditioned, you know, for Jill. I knew when I was going in, I looked at the art and I was like, this is Jill. This is Jill Valentine, right? Right, guys? Right? Anybody?
They didn't tell you right away who it was?
Absolutely not. They had a code name on it, but the place casting it, you know, was like, here's the code names, the code projects, but here's the art.
Okay.
Hint, hint. And I was like, Jill, right? I went in pretty confident that it was Jill Valentine, and, you know, showed up accordingly. And I, you know, ended up just really hitting it off with the cinematics director, Steve Knibley, who also directed the cinematics for Resident Evil Village.
Oh.
And he and the rest of the production team, I think we all just had a pretty shared vision for what Miss Valentine was going to look like in this iteration of her story. And so it just kind of went from there, you know. I did all of RE3, and then when Village came around, I sort of got the call like, hey, there's this small role, Elena, you know, Capcom is, you know, approved you doing it. Do you want to do Elena? I was like, oh my God, yeah, that sounds great. And then I got one of those, like, actually, there's also this witch sister, small part, don't worry about it. do you want to do that too? I was like, yeah, great, great. You know, no small parts in Resident Evil Village.
Oh, no.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that sort of conversation just kept happening, you know? And they really brought back a lot of actors from RE7 and from RE3 into RE Village. I don't know if you've noticed. There's a lot of cast members that you've seen around before, which is just really cool. It's very special when a company, especially a company as massive and as big of a reach as Capcom, wants to work with us again and wants to bring us back and let us play around in other characters. Like, that's so much fun.
It's almost like a family environment that Capcom's creating.
It reminds
for
me
the
of what HBO does a lot. They reuse a lot of the same actors because they're all like approved and they know how they work and they got a relationship with the directors and stuff.
It helps too, because then you also have the ability of, like, when you're bouncing off of each other and reacting to each other, you already have a base understanding.
Yeah,
of, like,
I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
And I mean, you definitely feel it in the Village in general. Like, there's just it's a lot of family themes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of family themes happening everywhere, and it was very, very cool to come together with such a huge cast and really have kind of like a tight-knit little family. We've really had a lot of fun now that the game's dropped, getting to, you know, promote and hang out and you know, really be all supportive of each other, and that's just, I mean, so lovely.
Yeah. All right, Norris. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to freak out about.
Okay.
All right. You know that little game called Guilty Gear Strive?
Yes.
You're talking to the voice actress of Jacko and Arya.
Shut up!
Nope. I'm not going to shut up because you.
Really?
That's
no.
A legit thing. I guess I was able to announce that today. That
I didn't know that!
Exactly. Well, no one didn't tell today.
Breaking news.
That's so cool.
That's
so cool.
So can you, all right, well, I know it's a completely different game, but like Norris is a huge, Norris has been talking about this game, I don't know, since the beta.
Since beta one.
Beta one. And so can you tell me about that experience a little bit? Like,
what is voice acting for like that kind? That,
yeah, I feel like that's a very different
Guilty
vibe.
Gear is crazy as balls. Like, it is nuts.
Totally different world. Completely different, I mean, genre type of game. You know, these Resident Evil games that we've been doing have been very kind of grounded and headed towards cinematic, even with really crazy circumstances. Like, they're trying to keep it. And then you go to something like Guilty Gear, and there's just, like, it's just a ball of energy. There's so much fun happening. It has such a beautiful, unique art style. And I had a blast just kind of going in there and getting to play with some very specific kind of voices, if
That's
you will.
So cool.
Especially for Jacko, who is such a unique, like, dual personality being, because she's also containing Arya in her. So I got to do both Arya and Jacko, and Jacko herself has this constant, like, internal battle happening about her identity and who she is and if she's a full person. So there was just a lot to jump into in a very, like, energetic style of kind of performance.
That's listen, Chad, there are very few times where you share information with me that I don't know, and you just did it today, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Very, very much.
I held back that question for that specifically.
I really appreciate that. So, you know, I definitely got to get into this, Nicole, because this is something that I do not get to ask a voice actor very often, all right, is when your character has really weird things to say or said about them, how do you react? And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Jill sandwich, but...
I am familiar with the Jill sandwich.
Okay. But...
Very familiar.
If you were in the booth... If you were in the booth when that line was said, is the voice actor then empowered to be like, guys, that's stupid? Or do you just roll with it? How do you react to a weird... That line is just,
you know,
weird.
I don't think... I don't know. Like, in RE3, they definitely have some nods to some of the original lines, but they went for a very, you know, cinematic retelling. And then in Resistance, we actually got to, like, add all of the super... like campy stuff back in.
Right.
So if you play Resistance, like Jill has so many like, I'm the master of unlocking. You know, just like really silly, playful stuff. So I felt like they saved it all up to kind of put it in that. So I got to kind of play the best of both worlds. When it comes to like being in the booth and being like, y'all, what? No, most of the time, if something comes across and we're unsure how we want to play it, like there's a cinematics director for a reason. They'll ask for more context, or we'll find a way to make it work, because anything that does make it in, we still want it to feel in character. So for something like the Jill sandwich, I mean, at this point, it's like so iconic. So if it was to make it back in, I know for a fact they would probably do it well. They would do it with like humor, levity, a tip of the hat, but also find a way to have Jill react naturally in this kind of version of her. I'm sure she would be a lot less like, you're right, Barry, and a lot more like, the heck? You know, like, she'd just be a lot more like, sure.
Yeah.
You know? I think it might be a... But, you know, who's to say, honestly? That's the trick of the writers. But they've done such a good job so far with the RE2 remake and the RE3 remake. It's been really fun to watch them kind of mix, you know, the nostalgia of the original games and also create something entirely new for a new generation of players.
Right.
Dang it.
So, speaking of how Jill would react in various situations... we thought it might be fun if we could come up with some survival situations, and maybe Jill would grace us with her presence, and Jill would tell us how to navigate some of these difficult survival situations.
So
we'll see.
Our first scenario: how would Jill Valentine react to being abducted by aliens to be studied?
Oh man. Not well, but I've been through worse. So I think you know, the key is to find a weapon. Always find a weapon first, and then pretty well just go in shooting. If we're in the Resident Evil world, that's always the trick. They're never nice. If it was me personally, I'd be like, hi, are we nice aliens? Are we just being curious? I get it. It's fine. Let's talk about it. but I have a feeling Jill would probably be more forced into guns blazing types of scenarios.
All right. Okay. There's a haunted doll that won't leave Jill alone.
I'm going to call my girl Paula Rhodes, who plays Angie, and be like, hey, Angie, Your friend wants a play date. You want to deal with that? I'm gonna let the two creepy dolls figure that out together.
All right, getting real meta. Usage of all the tools at hand sounds very Jillish.
I like it.
All right, our next one: stuck on a runaway train that is about to crash.
Well, find me the fuse box for the brakes, because I'm sure the fuses are just randomly stranded around the train, and I've got to put a fuse back into the fuse box and then pull the brakes. It's easy. It's simple. Just got to make the darn fuses work.
Yo. Also, why are the fuses all chess pieces? I don't know.
I don't know. That's...
Well, I don't. You know what? Don't worry about it. All right. It's just stick it in there. The train suddenly works. I'm good. You know, trains and elevators, man. It's always the elevator.
And our last one is facing a witch in the middle of the woods with just a handheld camera.
Blair Witch?
Yeah. I took these inspirations, let's just say that.
I like it. Yeah. you know, obviously just film and document your entire experience and then sell it for a massively good film movie. Yeah.
All right. So now,
and make money. You know, really, that's Nikolai's response. We're going to battle data. Battle data. I'll sell the combat data.
Yes.
Battle data. That's awesome.
Combat data. That's always it. Always the answer. Which camera? Combat data.
All right. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today. We're super excited to see what else you have coming out in the near future or the future. Where can everybody find you via social media?
Heck yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Nikki Lee Tompkins. I love interacting and engaging with people there. I look at all the fan art and stuff like that. So if you tag me, I will totally see it. And then I've also been streaming some of these amazing games and bringing on actors on twitch.tv/NicoleTompkins while we chat and basically watch the actors kind of get to see their performances sometimes for the first time.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much as usual, but that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. Chad Callahan, my co-host. Callie Scales, my co-host. I am your first chair number one host, Norris Howard.
Oh, boy.
And wow. We will see y'all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.